Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. And in today's episode, we are going to be discussing more unpopular opinions. This week has been bad for time management. So I have done zero research on anything, on anything in the world of politics, on anything in the world of anything, really. So that's why you're getting an unpopular opinions podcast today. Plus, I didn't even get through a decent amount of the unpopular opinions from the last unpopular opinions podcast. So that's why you're going to get this today. All right. So where should we start? I want to... Okay, so let's talk about... I want to not only discuss my political unpopular opinions. So we're going to go through a bunch of them. Let's start with... Let's start with vegans. vegans are annoying. I think being vegan is stupid. I think... So let's discuss, why are people vegans? I don't even really know why people are vegans. I think people are vegans because they honestly make it their personality. Like, you know, like in their instinct, like think of a vegan that you know. And because, so in your Instagram bio, you guys, you'll put like what? You might put where you live. You might put if you're like a churchgoer. You might put if you... I don't know, if you play an instrument, you might put, I don't know, if you love wine, if you love food, but people will put vegan on there because vegan is their personality. How do you center a personality around the fact that you can't eat anything? What is that about? What is wrong with people? So... Vegans are, yes, vegans, I think, are the most boring people I've ever met. They're the most, I don't know. Like, vegans in general, I'm just like, I think I know a few vegans. I actually know a few vegans who are actually pretty fun, but the overwhelming majority of them are boring. And let's talk about the vegan activism. I have a big problem with vegan activism. The people who are vegans and they're all like, and you know, they go on these marches and they're like, you know, save the animals and, you know, save the whales and blah, blah, blah. I just think it's really weird when people are marching for animals. I just find it very strange. And it's kind of interesting. It's just, I don't know, the vegans, I feel like they aren't as loud about their activism for animals. I'm sorry, I don't think they're as loud about their activism about people versus their activism about animals. I think they care more about animals than people. That's what it is. I think vegans care more about animals than people. Like, people are getting shot every freaking day by these police officers. And I feel like these vegans, they care more about the fact that someone kicked the dog in the face. Like, I really do think that you care more about the animals. And I just find that to be pretty gross. I think that's gross. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about the vegans. Next, let's talk... Well, since we're talking about animals, let's talk about dogs. Dogs are not your children. So please stop. Please stop with the whole, oh, I'm getting a dog. Me and my girlfriend are getting a dog, to prepare us for children. A dog is not going to prepare you for a child. It just simply will not. And I don't really understand why you really, do you really think that? You guys can't really think that, do you? You don't really think that a dog, taking care of a dog, doesn't prepare you for taking care of a child. I know you really don't think that. You really, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you really do think that, and I just need to get with the program. Maybe that's what it really is. I find that to be strange. I find that to be very annoying. I really do find that to be so annoying. While we're on the topic of dogs and children, I find it really weird when people are, like, they're always talking about how great their child is, and their kid is, like, 2, you know what I mean? Like, they're always like, oh, he's so great, and, like, He's so fu- No, your child is probably annoying. Your child is annoying. like, no one... I don't know. Like, I feel like parents play up their child so much, especially when they're so young. Like, they put the weight of the world on their children, I feel like. Like they expect so much. They want so much. They're expecting the child to grow up and do great things. And it's like, your kid's probably going to grow up and just be like everyone else. Like that, and that's perfectly fine. It's just strange to me. I feel like people take far too much pride. One, people take far too much pride in being parents, and the idea of parenthood, I feel like, is romanticized. Because no one ever really talks about the struggle. Well, people do talk about the struggles, right? Like, I think people do talk about the struggles, but not nearly as much. All you hear is, oh, yeah, it was hard, but it was worth it. Was it worth it? Not, look. I'm not saying, like, oh, one might regret. Actually, that is what I'm saying. I feel like more people regret having children than they would like to admit. And I don't think that should be a negative thing to say. Like, people have regrets, right? I mean, some say that they don't, but I think most people think about their past and they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And I truly do think that there are plenty of people who don't wish that they had children, even though that they do. And I don't think that's a bad thing to think. I think that it's normal. Raising kids is hard. Raising kids requires you to sacrifice everything. It requires you to spend every single dollar. It requires you to do everything for somebody else. And that's not for everybody. I don't think that... I mean, I just don't think that parenthood is this thing to aspire to be. I really don't think... Like, if people say things... Like, think about when, you know, like, for example, when Generation X talks to Generation Y and they're like, yeah, you know, when you get married and start a family, as if it's this, as if it's the pinnacle of life, like, oh, now your life begins. Oh, you're married? Okay, now when are you gonna, like, the immediate question is, when are you gonna have kids? What if you don't wanna have, like, it's not this natural progression, you know what I mean? But I think that's what conservatives have made it. Here I go again, talking about... I was trying to not have political thoughts today, but here we are. I think that conservatives have pushed this onto everyone. Actually, I know this. I know that they have. The church and conservatives have pushed this idea that the pinnacle of life is to get married and have kids. And then, you know, that brings us all back to this American dream, right? Which we know is a farce, which we know is untrue, which we know is unattainable, which we know is impossible to hold on to, even if you do achieve it. I just don't think that parenthood is this thing where you're like, oh, I you know what I mean? Like, it's like graduating high school is a goal, graduating college, you know, that could be a goal, getting a job, you might, making a certain amount of income is nice. Like, if you want to be a parent, that's all fine and good, but just stop treating it like, stop treating it like looking down on other people who aren't parents and people who aren't in a relationship, or who aren't married. You know what I mean? It's like people have this smugness to them when they are, like, for example, the first one in their group to get married, or the first one in their group to have a child. Like you're not better. It's like you're more broke, you're more tired, you look crazy every day because you don't have any time. Like what's so good? Good for you. Good for you. Next, and while we're on that topic, let's talk about the fact that I don't think human beings are meant to be monogamous. I really don't. If you are in a relationship right now, chances are it will end. I believe that it will end, and I think it will end sooner rather than later. I'm here to tell you that I don't think marriages last, because I don't think humans are meant to be just with one other human. and stay that way. This is another thing that conservatism and religion has pushed onto us. There's a reason why the divorce rates are sky high. And yeah, you can look to the United States divorce rate, which is like, I don't know, maybe 48%. But you can look elsewhere in the world and see that it is far worse. I think the divorce rate in Luxembourg is 88.9%. So that's almost all, like that is basically all marriages end in divorce. And I know what people are going to say. You're going to say like, oh, well, you should have stuck it out. They didn't stick it out. They ran at the first sign of trouble. And it's like, why do you have to work it out? Why do you have to stay after some trouble? Why should you, like, working through all these disagreements, like, it's not noble. It's not this noble thing to be, like when people are like, oh, I've been married for 30 years, I've been married for 40 years, and people are all like, wow, congratulations. I think, what? What is wrong with you people? Like, you are not the same person 30 years later. I'm sorry to tell you. You are not the same person. Your spouse is not the same. Now, I don't know. Maybe. Now, I'm sure some marriages, you know, you do grow together. Like, you have friends that you've had for 30 years. You know, it's not that relationships as a whole can't work out for such a long period of time. I'm saying that you don't have to be limited to one. I don't think you should have to be limited to being with one person for forever. Like, I don't think it's that. And, like, I mean, who wants to wake up to the same idiot every day? Like, who wants to do that? That doesn't sound appealing. That sounds like a punishment. If you ask me, that sounds more like punishment than a reward. Because, you know, marriage is supposed to be considered this, like, reward, right? Like, please. It's just a bunch of nonsense. But yeah, like, what? Well, so what? We are the only mammals that are supposed to be monogamous? Like, are you serious? Are you serious? But then again, the only way that you would come to this conclusion is if you take the nonsense out of it. If you take the nonsensical religion out of life, then that's the only way you'll come to this kind of a conclusion, I feel like. You know, we've had the idea of marriage thrust upon us from birth, honestly, from birth. It's in all the movies. Hello, what's a romantic comedy about? Finding the right person, right? Like, that's what romance movies, there's a whole genre about this. And it's so pervasive that that's why people think the heart is shaped like the emoji. I don't think humans are meant to be with one person for forever. And I don't think that the same way that I don't think that people should be, you know, like, sure, maybe your marriage can last for 50 years. But I don't think those people should look down upon people who've had four husbands. I don't think you should look down on them. Because I don't think having four husbands is a bad thing. I mean, I think it's kind of weird. It's like, maybe marriage isn't for you. like, you know how, like, Larry King, I think he had, what, seven wives? It's like, why are you getting married all these times? Like, stop getting married. He's one of those people that should stop getting married. I think he died, so he won't be getting married anymore. But he's one of those people that should not be getting married anymore, ever again. And I truly think that more people are like him than they would like to admit. Maybe you could probably, I mean, who am I to say that if someone's relationship isn't going to work out? I'm saying that evidence has shown that it probably won't. It probably will not. I'm sorry to tell you. No one else has, so I will. That's why you come here, right? To hear what no one else is going to tell you. Next unpopular opinion. As for recent events, well, I guess it's Mortal Kombat sucked. Let's talk. Mortal Kombat was horrible. That movie was so bad. Let's discuss. So, let's talk about this movie from a from someone like me who played the games quite frequently, who knows what the story is, because there is a story to Mortal Kombat. I don't know if you guys know, but there is a story to it. You know, very much so invested in the characters, very much so invested in, like, the whole Mortal Kombat universe. And then let's talk about it from just a general, you know, from an objective movie standpoint. From an objective movie standpoint, it is absolute garbage. Absolute garbage. And from a game player standpoint, it's just, it's just kind of blah. It's pretty blah. So, I don't think that it's any better than the 1995 movie. I don't think it's any better. If you really don't know, Mortal Kombat is this fighting game that first came out in the early 90s. It got really popular, not because it was so well done, but because it had lots of blood and gore in it. People getting their spines ripped out, people getting their heads chopped off, blood spewing out like a geyser, very overdramatic, very like, and it didn't take itself that seriously in the games. Like, anyone who played the games knows what I'm talking about. Like, yes, it's quite dark. The overall tone of the games is dark. But there are lots of moments in the game where you're laughing hysterically because you're like, what is going on? Like, it's so ridiculous. You know what I mean? So, this movie was horrible. This movie, they decided not to stick with the original story from the games, which is fine, which is perfectly fine. So they made up their own story. But the problem is, the story sucked! Like, how are you gonna make your own story and not have it be good? Like, you didn't even need to make your own story up. The game has a good enough story where you can just take that and call it a day. You already took all the characters. You already took the special attacks. You already took the special powers. Take the story too. Like, who decided to leave the whole story off the table and just take certain elements from it? Like, it just makes absolutely zero sense. So the movie budget was $50 million, which is not enough money to make a movie like this. $50 million is not enough movie. It is not enough of a budget to make a movie where people shoot fire out of their hands. $50 million is not enough to make a movie where people have ice powers and have thunder lightning powers shooting from their hands. That is not enough of a budget for a movie like this. It's just not. The special effects were poor. It was horrible. The special effects, I couldn't. You know where all the money went? All the money went to the first 10 minutes of the movie. The first 10 minutes of the movie. So the first 10 minutes of the movie is when Scorpion and Sub-Zero have their fight before Scorpion dies. And that was the best part of the movie. The costumes were amazing. The scenery was great. It was amazing. And then after that, trash. Absolute trash. I couldn't believe it. All the budget went to the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then the rest of it went to Sub-Zero's costume, because that costume was immaculate. That costume, the detail was insane. It was absolutely incredible. It's just disgraceful. And it is a disservice, I feel like. To people who played the games, it's a disservice. They released the first... So, a few weeks before the movie came out... By the way, it came out in theaters and on HBO Max. So, a few weeks before the movie came out, they released the first 10 minutes on YouTube. And that should have told us all what kind of movie this was going to be. If you're releasing whole segments of the movie for free, That means it's going to be a bad movie. I'm sorry to tell you. That means it's going to be a bad movie. The trailers were no good. The trailers were just blah. It was blah, 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 blah. Like, so let's discuss. So for the game players, how do you have Melina in the movie and not have Katana? How do you have one without the other? You can't have one without the other. Their story is so, like, well, hello. Their story is the same story because Melina's a clone, right? So it's like, how do you have Melina being an evil villain and not have Katana? The story that they make... So, what happens in this movie? So, let's discuss this movie. Hold on. Let me have some water first. This is such a joke. So the movie starts with, you know, they show the Sub-Zero and Scorpion feud, blah, 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 blah. And then they decide to do a hard cut to not Katana, not to Liu Kang, not to Johnny Cage, some new character. How do you have a new character in this movie? A character not in the games. I feel like they did this, and I think shows do this quite often, and I didn't realize it. So, they have this new character in the movie. His name is Cole. I don't know if anyone cares, but his name is Cole, and he's some, like, loser Fight Club fighter. He gets beaten up for $200 a fight. He has a daughter... some girl, are they married, you guys? I mean, who cares, right? Anyway, so it follows him, but what I was saying is I think what movies do and what shows do is, for example, in Mortal Kombat, they didn't follow, so the main character in the Mortal Kombat movie was Cole, who is created for the movie. I think they did that so that we could kind of see ourselves as Cole and to sort of see the Mortal Kombat universe in his eyes, which is kind of like how we would react if we ourselves were in the Mortal Kombat universe. You know what I mean? It's almost like, so remember how in Gossip Girl, Serena was the main character, but Serena's boring. Serena is boring. And Blair is an infinitely more interesting character. But I think that Serena was the main character. Because I don't think she was the main character in the books. But I think Serena was the main character in the show. Because, yes, she's boring. Yes, she's kind of bland. But I think that they wanted us, the viewer, to sort of... we could identify with Serena more because she doesn't have such a personality as Blair is like, you can find more relatable qualities to Serena. Does that make sense? We see this in a lot of romantic comedies where the main girl is just like bland. She's kind of, klutzy. She's kind of like a loser. And I think more people identify with loserdom rather than, like, the villain in rom-coms, which is, like, the girl who seems to have it all. Does that make any sense? I think that Cole is the main character because remember how I said that he's a loser? So, again, I think people can relate. I think the general public can relate to being a loser rather than being the one who's always seemingly on top, right? Like in Bad Moms, remember how Rose Byrne was like the antagonist because she seemingly had it all together, but whoever the main girl was that Tina Fey? Whoever the main girl was kind of like the bad mom. You know, you guys know what I mean by now. You know what I'm trying to say. So that's why they made Cole the main character, I think. And it failed. The thing is, it failed. It didn't work for them. As good as their intentions might have been, it flopped. It was an absolute flop. You know why? Because here's what they should have done. What they should have done was made this movie. They should have done this like the Marvel Comics universe. They should have done this like have a Captain America movie. Have a Captain Marvel movie. Have a Spider-Man movie. Have a Thor movie. Why not have a Sonya and Jax movie? Why not have a Liu Kang and Kung Lao movie? Why not have a Katana Melina Shao Kahn movie? Why not have a Scorpion movie with Sub-Zero in it? Why not do that and then bring them all together? Like, for the Mortal Kombat tournament. You know what I mean? If you played the games, then you know what I mean. Because you know that each one of these characters has a very intricate backstory. They aren't boring characters, okay? So it's like, you didn't have to create a new one. Like, you really didn't have to create a new one. I feel like they could have used that $50 million budget so much better. That $50 million budget would have done better in a Sonya and Jax movie. Because in this current movie, what we got was, like, this amalgamation of everything, which didn't work. Because you didn't have enough money. You didn't have enough money, and so we got, like, a Walmart movie. We got, like, a direct-to-DVD movie. We got, like, the movie when you're on Canal and Broadway, and the Africans have their wares out on the sidewalk. On a comforter that they got from Marshalls, their bootleg DVDs. That's what we got! We got bootleg mess! We should have gotten a real movie. We should have gotten a movie where we got to care about the characters. Where we got to learn who they were. I don't know who these characters are. See, the thing is, if you're changing up the story so much that these characters are acting so weird, us game players don't even know who the characters are. Like, I don't know if they have the same backstory. I have no idea. Because you didn't talk about it. All you showed was nonsense. The fight scenes in general, the fight scenes as a whole were lackluster. The editing was really weird. Remember when Liu Kang did his bicycle kick special move? And the camera, like, was there, then it was here, then it was facing the sky, but meanwhile, he's still doing the kick move, but you didn't even see it. What a joke, right? What a joke. The movie did a few things that were pretty cool. Like, they had some references to, like, directly to the gameplay, which was pretty cool. Like, when Liu Kang and Kano were training, and Liu Kang was doing the sweep move. Like, you know how when you would do that in the arcade games, and no one, and your opponent, if they were a real person, would never think to crouch and block, so you could just kill them like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was something that I feel like was a direct nod to the game players. But the thing is, you have one nod to the game players, and then for the rest of the movie, you say, screw them, because you gave us this. This is what you gave us. You gave us nonsense. You gave us trash. It was horrible. They're supposed to do a sequel. They allude to a sequel toward the end of it, and it was corny. At the end of it, Cole is like, oh, I'm going to go to Hollywood. How random. Like, you didn't say why you wanted to go. But they show a movie poster. So in the movie, they show a movie poster for like a Johnny Cage movie that's supposed to come out. So now we're supposed to be like all excited, right? We're supposed to care. Like, are we supposed to care that you're going to have Johnny Cage in the next movie? Because we were excited that this movie was coming out, period, because of the characters. And you screwed that up. So what are you going to do with Johnny Cage? He's probably going to suck. So people are all talking on Twitter like, who's going to play Johnny Cage? Someone said The Miz is going to play Johnny Cage. You guys might know him from WWE. I remember him from the real world, whatever his real name is. I couldn't tell you what his real name is. All I know is that he is too old to play Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage is supposed to be like 25 years old. Isn't The Miz like 45 years old? Like, I don't want no old man playing Johnny Cage. I do not. I don't want to see it. Who am I kidding? I'm going to watch it. Like, I'm going to watch the movie if it does come out. The thing is, that the sequel, it will come out. It will be made. I'm not going to be shocked at all if they do make a good amount back from this current movie. Because the 1995 movie, everyone agrees that that movie was a mess, but that movie made a lot of money. And that's why they made a part two, which was just as bad. So stupid. I cannot. Let me have some more water before I move on. Ugh. So, let's talk about, okay, so let's cross this out. Speaking of the real world and reality TV, let's talk about another. I don't even know if this is an unpopular opinion. I think reality TV is legit TV. I feel like people look down on reality. I don't really see why not. Reality is just as entertaining, if not more entertaining, than your scripted shows. A lot of your scripted shows are horrible. A lot of these scripted shows should have been off the air years ago. I don't think that it's any more or less difficult to produce reality TV. The casting is just as important. You gotta have some interesting people on that show. But the thing is, like, are reality shows up for Emmys, you guys? I think reality shows have their own category, but I think they should go up against scripted TV. I think it should go up against The Grey's Anatomy and whatever else you guys like to watch. I truly do. I truly do think that reality TV is oftentimes better than scripted shows, because these scripted shows suck. Reality shows, I mean, and reality, the thing about reality shows is that so many of them are like cultural phenomenons where it's like, you talk about them, like you can reference a reality show so much easier than a scripted show. Say Jersey Shore to anybody, and they're not going to think of the geographic location. They're going to think of the show, okay? Say Housewives to anyone, they're not going to think of the 50s. They're going to think of the show. That's the thing. These reality shows make such an impact. They make a bigger impact on American society than your little scripted mess. Like, I'm sorry to tell you. And that's just a really quick one. I just wanted to say that. Next, let's talk about, so, in New York, so do you guys remember, what was it? Maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago? When there was, it was caught on security tape when an Asian woman was being attacked by a white guy on the sidewalk, and the doorman appeared to do nothing. Do you guys remember that video? So, so the woman was being attacked. I don't think that video was very long. I know that she fell to the ground. One, I can't remember exactly, but the guy pushed her down or hit her or something of the sort. And the doorman, it appeared that he just was looking. And it didn't look like he did much. Like, because I'm sitting there like, are you going to call the police? Or tell someone else to? But people online were saying that this guy needed to be fired. And I'm here to say, and then I'm pretty sure he was. And I'm here to say that I don't think he should have been fired. Because this guy is black, right? The doorman is black. What was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to go out there and attack that man who was attacking the woman? Because you know when the police showed up, you would have had a dead guy and it wouldn't have been the white guy. I'm so sorry to tell you guys. Like, I don't think that, I'm not mad that he did. I do think that he should have ran to call the police. Because it looked like he was just gawking, right? Like, I don't know. I don't think he should have gotten fired. And I don't think that he should have been berated by all of you on Twitter. I don't really see it. Because I wouldn't have gone out there. I myself would not have gone out there. All the police would have seen is a black guy attacking a white guy, and that's death. That's a death sentence. I'm sorry to tell you guys, that's a death sentence. That is a death sentence, and that's all I have to say about that. I don't have much to say about that. Yeah, I don't think that he should have been fired. I don't think that that he did anything wrong, except for the fact that it's just the way it looked. It didn't look like he called the police. Maybe he told someone else to. But regardless, I don't think he should have been fired. Sorry about it. Next, let's talk about the U.S. military. Actually, no. Let's talk about something I said before, about how if you're rich and powerful, that you're guilty until proven innocent, and how I have, been proven right yet again. So, a few weeks ago, I was talking about how, Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, I think he's from Florida, right? Anyway, the congressman who was accused of having sex with a minor, accused of bringing her across state lines in order to have sex with her, and we have not a confession from Matt Gaetz, but from his co-conspirator. Let's discuss. This is why I say that you are guilty until proven innocent if you are rich and or powerful. Because Uncle Ben told us, he told Peter Parker that with great power comes great responsibility. And we know that these people abuse their power and are never held responsible for doing so. Let's discuss. Where is it? I saw it on Instagram. Here we go. So, Joel Greenberg is, I forgot who he is. He's he's someone from Florida. He was like a treasurer or something. Someone. I don't know. Someone who was involved in the Florida government. Along with Matt Gaetz, right? So he writes in. So somehow the Daily Beast has gotten a hold of Joel Greenberg's conversations to Roger Stone. Roger Stone was a Trump henchman who was pardoned, or his sentence was commuted a little bit. But anyway, both bad. Roger Stone, bad guy. Joel Greenberg, he was indicted for this situation last year. And then now Matt Gaetz is getting in trouble for it this year because now they're like, oh, he was involved. You know what I mean? So they both were involved in this. Joel Greenberg involved in the solicitation of minors for sex. Apparently a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old. But anyway, let's discuss. So he's talking to Joel Greenberg on this app called Signal. Does anyone know what that is? I didn't bother to look it up. I never heard of that. But here we go. Why are you talking on an app to somebody and admitting to this stuff? It makes you think, are these people dumb or smart? Like, if you're doing these dirty deeds, do you talk about it like this? Like, I don't know. It's like, remember on The Sopranos how they talked on payphones only? They only talked on payphones. Or they would go to the local Radio Shack and get some Nokia and then throw it in the trash as soon as they're done. That's how you communicate when you're not supposed to be talking about stuff that you shouldn't have been doing. Why are these people are rich. You can't communicate some other covert way. These people are dumb. Or these people are so used to not getting in trouble for their dastardly deeds that they didn't think they'd get in trouble for this. I don't think that Joel Greenberg thought he'd get in trouble for this. I don't think Matt Gaetz thought he'd get in trouble for this. I'm going to drink some water. So I don't think that these people thought they would ever get in trouble for any of this stuff. And they're actually quite upset. They're upset not because they did this. They're upset because they're not upset that they're getting in trouble. They're upset at the literal fact that the system is not supposed to do this to them. That's what they're upset about. They're upset about that. They are upset that Trump is not giving, Matt Gaetz is upset that Trump is not giving him a pardon, because remember, he asked Trump for a pardon before he left office. Why are you asking for a pardon if you didn't do anything wrong? What a mess. So, Joel Greenberg says to Roger Stone, if I get you $250K in Bitcoin, would that help? Or is this not a financial matter? And this is talking about a pardon, because Greenberg asked Roger Stone to negotiate a pardon with Trump. Moving on. Let's see. Roger Stone says, I understand all of this and have taken it into consideration. I will know more in the next 24 hours. I cannot push too hard because of the nonsense surrounding pardons. Remember last year when Trump was giving this person a pardon and that person a pardon? And then I think, like, the few weeks before he left office, every single person in the world got pardons too. Like, Steve Bannon got a pardon. Every single person got a pardon. So, Roger Stone writes to Joel Greenberg on January 13th. I hope you are prepared to wire me $250,000 because I'm feeling confident. And then, Joel Greenberg, he says, they know he paid me to pay the girls and that he and I both had sex with the girl who was underage. And then Greenberg refers to Matt Gaetz as MG or just as Matt. He says that my lawyers that I fired know the whole story about MG's involvement. They know that he paid me to pay the girls. Remember a few weeks ago when I mentioned the $900 that Matt Gaetz sent Joel Greenberg $900 through Venmo or Cash App, I can't remember which one, and then Joel Greenberg dispersed amounts totaling to $900 to women on Cash App. Why are you doing this through Cash App? Why are you not using actual cash? Again, like, I can't even, like, it's so stupid. How dumb are you? So, here we have it, you guys. Guilty until proven innocent. I do not believe a single rich and or powerful person when they say that they are innocent in wrongdoing. Immediately, they are guilty to me. Because we've seen it too many times. We've seen it so many times where someone's accused of something, and then 20 years later, it's true. 2 weeks later, it's true. Meanwhile, all the while, they've been protesting their innocence. They've been yelling. They've been screaming. They've been crying. They've gone to rehab. They've gone to here and there. They've gone on trips. And they keep saying, they'll do anything to say that they're innocent. And then look. Now look. Now look. Now look. We have it here. Like, there's so... So he's guilty. I'm just waiting for the court to get themselves together and throw them both in jail. Let me have some more water. So I'm very happy about that. again, I don't need vindication because I know I'm right. I know I'm right. If these messages never got out, I would still know that I'm right. I would still know that Matt Gaetz is guilty. I would still know that Joel Greenberg is guilty. I would know that they are guilty because we've seen it too many times. We've seen these people act out. We've seen these people get away with doing things. And, yeah. Moving on. Let's talk about the United States military. Here's an unpopular opinion. I don't know why anyone wants to join the military. I don't think that the military is a good organization. I don't think that they do any good. I don't think they do any good for anybody except for rich people. They don't do anything good. They don't. You know how people always say, like, oh, you know, thank you for your service because they're protecting us from who? Who are they protecting us? The United States spends more on police departments than every other country in the world does on their military. So the police departments as a whole can take out whole countries. So let me say that again. The police departments collectively in America can take out countries, militaries. So who are you protecting us from? Who are you protecting us from? Like, I don't know. I really don't understand. And we know what the military does. We know exactly what the military does. They don't protect. They actually create chaos in other countries. We know this. And I'll give you some examples. For example, so what they usually do is go into a country where the United States government doesn't like that country's leader. So let's give a hypothetical, okay? So country A, let's pretend country A, since the beginning of country A's inception, they have been under the leadership of a monarchy. So they've had kings, they've had queens, and they have absolute power, let's just say. So over the years, they become tyrannical, they become all about themselves, and country A's monarchy doesn't care about the people. They don't care about the country. All they care about is themselves, and they are rich. Country A's monarchy is rich, okay? Meanwhile, everyone else is poor. Everyone else is starving, right? Okay. So, what do the people in country A eventually do? They are able to get enough people, enough military support to overthrow the monarchy, and then they elect someone. They have their first democratic election ever, and then they elect someone. Sounds good, right? Sounds like democracy at work. However, country B says, we don't like country A's new president. We like the monarchy. Therefore, country B says, all right, military, go in there and take out that president. Take out that president so that the monarchy can come back to power. Does that sound good? Does that sound good? That doesn't sound like democracy, right? However, that's what the United States in this situation is country B. That's what they do. They did this in Iran in 1953. Iran had just elected their first democratic election. They just had one in 1953, their very first. Because before that, they had a monarchy. They had a monarchy from their inception until 1953. When the people and the military were so sick of them that they took them out. They were like, you are not king anymore. You are not the Shah. You are just a person. And it got so dangerous for the royal family that they had to run away. Right? So they had their first election ever. Elected their president. All sounds good, right? It all sounds good. Like, if you don't like your leader, hopefully you have democratic processes in place, right? To take them out. Iran did not. Remember, because they had a monarchy. So, they took them out the best way they could. Listen, probably wasn't the most noble affair. But, you know, it had to be done. That's what the people wanted. Therefore, the people did what they had to do. So they elected their first president. The United States did not like him. So they removed him and then put the monarchy back in power. Mm-hmm. And then people were upset again. A whole bunch of turmoil. And then we end up with the Iran-Iraq crisis. And it's like, all of this probably could have been avoided. All of this could have been avoided if the United States just mind their own business. The military did this. The military caused Iran to become unstable by taking out their democratically elected president. Does that sound like a good thing to you? So when people say that the United States government is going into other countries to promote democracy, tell them that they're lying or that they have been lied to. They are not telling the truth. The United States government is not, the United States military is not going into other countries to promote democracy. We have seen this numerous times. We've seen this in, which country is it? Is it Chile? Where they took out their democratically elected president, Salvador Allende. They took him out because they didn't like him. And so they put in Augusto Pinochet, a dictator. They put in a whole dictator. This is true, you guys. Like, you can look this up. Where the CIA goes into other countries, they literally provide training to insurgent groups. They arm insurgent groups. And then they sick them on the newly elected president. Take them out. And then the United States helps a dictator come to power. This has happened in so many Latin American countries. There's a whole Wikipedia about it where you can read about every single one. This is how prevalent it is. Look it up. Look it up right now. Google the United States involvement in Latin American regime change. Look it up. It is a problem. It is such a problem. And another unpopular opinion is that the only reason that terrorist groups are able to exist is because of the United States. The United States is the reason why ISIS is able to exist. Why? Because the United States destabilized so many Middle Eastern countries that's why these terrorist groups were able to rise to power unchecked. Syria is sitting here trying to fight ISIS. They are trying to fight ISIS, but because they're so unstable, they cannot. Afghanistan wants to fight ISIS. Iran wants to fight ISIS. Like, here's the thing. Most of these Middle Eastern countries, their presidents, they're not terrorists. I feel like that's a thing. Like, that people think. People think that the leadership of these Middle Eastern countries are synonymous with terrorist groups. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. That's the case for some. It is the case for some. Saudi Arabia, we know that those princes literally fund terrorist groups. We know this. We know this. The United States knows this. So how funny that the United States says that they are wanting to fight terrorism, but they sold $1 billion in firearms to Saudi Arabia. Meanwhile, remember, we all know that Saudi Arabia funds and arms terrorist groups. So if you know that someone is going to use what you give them to fund terrorism, do you give them anything? Do you give them firearms? Do you give them money? No, you don't do that. You stop doing business with them. The United States should have stopped doing business with Saudi Arabia decades ago. A century ago. It's a joke. It is a joke. And when people join the military and they say, I'm going to defend my country, ask them, against who are you defending us? Who are you defending us from? Because no one's a threat. The United States military is the biggest threat. Because these countries cannot elect somebody and think that they're at peace. You know why the United States went into these countries and took out those leaders? It's because that they were socialist. Literally, that's it. That is why. Mohammad Mossadegh in 1953 in Iran announced that he was a socialist. Salvador Allende in Chile or El Salvador, whichever country he's from. Sorry, I don't remember. Argentina, actually, now I think it is. Anyway, he announced that he was a socialist. This is the common thread. This is the common link between these leaders and then having the United States come in there and take them out. Imagine someone comes in to our country and takes out Joe Biden and the whole cabinet. It's like, what? Everyone would be up in arms about it. So how come you're not up in arms about it when it happens somewhere else? Like, imagine. Imagine how much of a frenzy that DC would be in. It would be an absolute frenzy. That's why it's not a good thing when you hear about the United States taking out high-ranking officials in the Middle East. It's not a good thing, because these people are trying to keep the terrorist groups under control. If you take these people out, they're not able to mobilize against ISIS. This is the reason why in a lot of African countries, insurgent groups outnumber the police. Because these countries have been so destabilized, so stripped of their natural resources, they've been left with nothing because Europe has gone in there and literally looted everything. They took all the diamonds from Sierra Leone. They took everything. And now the people who live there have to deal with insurgent groups who are able to rise to power unchecked because there is no police, because there's no infrastructure. Like, this is what the United States government has caused. This is what the military has caused. They have caused absolute terror in other countries. They keep talking about the war on terror, but the United States military is the terrorists. They're the ones going in there and causing other countries to implode. Anyway, that's all I have for you guys today. In conclusion, stop glorifying joining the military. Stop glorifying that. It's not like you get anything afterward. You know how many homeless veterans I see every day? It's not like you get anything afterward. You see how Donald Trump makes fun of military people? You don't gain anything. You gain nothing. And in that, and all the while, you are ruining lives. You're literally ruining lives. Anytime anyone says, oh yeah, I'm being stationed in Afghanistan, I'm like, oh goodness. Like, what are you being a part of? Like, do you know what you're being a part of? You don't know what you're being a part of. That's the thing. People don't know what they're actually being a part of when they join the military. You're not doing anything good. You're not doing anything good. There is no threat to United States government. It's all in our minds. The United States government doesn't want socialist countries to succeed. That's what it is. The United States government can't afford for us to see socialist countries achieve the same economic success, because eventually we'll start to question, why do we have to live in this capitalist society when we see socialist country A across the water doing just fine? That's what the problem is. And that's why the United States government goes in there and destabilizes them. However, the consequence of that is terrorist groups coming to power. Because if you have no one checking you, please. And then the growing sentiment toward America. The fact that everyone in the Middle East hates America is not a good thing. The reason why everyone in the Middle East hates America is because America has ruined a lot of these countries. Like, America's the reason why ISIS is able to exist. America is the reason why Al-Qaeda is able to exist. Like, that's the thing. If you go in and take out a country's leadership, then that's when the terrorism comes. A terrorist group can't exist in, well, what I was gonna say was that a terrorist group can't exist in a country with proper police, with proper forms of government. But then again, terrorist groups exist right here in America, right? But the thing is, those terrorist groups are able to completely take over. That's the difference. Anyway, so that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.